Before I bring the lesson this morning, I'm just going to bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to bring a children's address and children's lesson, and I trust that the Lord will use His Word and speak to all that are gathered. Let's just pray and settle ourselves as we come to the close of the service this morning. Our Father and our God, we thank You for everything that has taken part. We bless Thee for every boy and girl. We thank You, Father, for ministering to us through Thy Word. And we pray, Father, Lord, that we would know a manifestation of Thy power. That, Lord, someone in here in the meeting this morning would be able to say, like Mary, "For He that is mighty have done great things to me." And we pray, Father, that You'll speak to all that are gathered. Bless boys and girls. You'll still us down in Your presence. I pray that You would fill me with Thy Holy Spirit, that You would take control of this vessel. And Lord, give me the words that I am to speak. Help me to speak with clarity and with compassion. For I pray this in Jesus' name and for my Savior's glory. Amen. Now, last year, many of us heard about a man called Martin Luther. And there's many interesting claims with regard to Martin Luther and Christmas time. Now, it is claimed that Martin Luther was the man who changed the date of giving presents from the 6th of December to the 25th of December in Germany. Another claim made of Martin Luther was he is the man who introduced the nativity play or the nativity. Maybe some of you, boys and girls in school, have taken part in the week that's passed. Maybe you've taken part in the nativity play in school. Well, Martin Luther was the first man to introduce that into his church, and he got different people in his congregation to play the different parts and to sing the different choruses. Now, something else about Martin Luther. Martin Luther is the man that is credited with, we could say, with lights on the Christmas tree. You say, well, how does that make sense? Because there was no electricity, there was no electric light bulb in Martin Luther's day. Well, Martin Luther was out walking through the forest one night. And as he was walking through the forest, he saw the snow on the branches. And he looked up through the conifer trees, and he looked up into the heights of heaven, and he saw the stars shining there. And his heart was overcome with the wonder and the glory and the splendor of Almighty God and His creation. And he ran home and he got his wife and his children, and he tried to explain to them the beauty of the scene that he had just observed. But he couldn't do it. So he ran outside, he cut down a conifer tree, and he brought it into the house, and he tied candles to the end of the branches. And he lit the candles. And to him, that was as if the candle was representing the stars in the night sky. So Martin Luther, he is accredited with many things regarding Christmas. But you know, boys and girls, the followers of Martin Luther, they wanted something. They wanted something to remind the people of why we celebrate or remember Christmas. And of course, Christmas, it reminds us and it concerns the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells me that Jesus Christ, He came into the world to save sinners. That's the good news of the gospel. And the followers of Martin Luther, they wanted something to remind the people of why Jesus Christ came into the world. And you know, that thing that they brought way back nearly 500 years ago, we still have it today, and you see it a lot at Christmas time. Now, I've brought one with me, and the shops, most of the shops sell these. And maybe you have one of these at home. And usually, the place that this thing is put is on your front door. It is. Now, I asked, was there a Hoover here? Because there's a lot of things falling off this. So the caretaker's got a job after I finished. It is the Christmas wreath. And the Christmas wreath, boys and girls and mums and dads, was introduced to remind people of the good news of the gospel. Why Jesus Christ came into the world. He came into the world to save sinners.
And the Christmas wreath reminds us of the gospel. You say, well, how is that so? Well, the first thing the Christmas wreath reminds us of is sin. Is sin. You see, on the Christmas wreath, traditionally, there is holly leaves. Now, holly leaves are jaggy. They're covered in thorns. Now, when I read the Bible, boys and girls, in Genesis chapter 1, it tells me that God made everything very good. He made Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve were without sin. They were upright, they were holy, and God had given them knowledge. And God made everything very good. But in the world today, when we look around us, it's not very good. Because there's sickness, and there's war, and there's death. And we heard in the news, maybe your mom and dad heard about volcanoes and earthquakes and tidal waves and all these things. Well, how come, if God made everything very good, how come the world is not good as we look at it today? Well, God gave Adam one command. And that command was he was not allowed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day that he would eat of that tree, he would surely die. He would begin to die physically, but he would die immediately spiritually. You know, boys and girls, God was good to Adam. He gave all the trees of the garden to Adam and their fruit for him to eat. Just one tree. But Adam disobeyed God. And Adam and Eve, they took the fruit. And they ate the fruit. And that day, sin entered into the world. And you know, that's the reason why each and every one of us are born as sinners. It is a historical fact that there was a first man. And there isn't a historical fact that he ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's the reason why you and I are born as sinners, separated from God. In spiritual darkness, it's the reason why each of us break God's commandments. And God's punishment for breaking His commandments is death. Physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. But the day that Adam, he ate the fruit, God did something else. Not only did he punish Adam, but the Bible tells me he cursed the ground. And in Genesis 3, verse 18, God said that the ground would bring forth thorns and thistles. So anytime you see a thorn, you remember where the thorns came from. They came into the world that the day that Adam and Eve sinned against God. So the holly wreath, the first thing it reminds us of by its thorns is sin. But you know, boys and girls, something else about the traditional holly wreath. There's always something in the middle of it, traditionally. And I've got one with me. It's a, does anybody know what that is? Young man there? A candle, yes. Traditionally, there is a candle in the middle of the holly wreath. And that was to remind people about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Bible tells me in John chapter 9, that Jesus Christ is called the light of the world. And because everyone is born in sin, and each of us are separated from God, we need someone that will show us the way, someone that will teach us the way, someone that will lead us the way back to God. See, when you light a candle, it gives you light. It helps you to see the way. And boys and girls, mums and dads, Jesus Christ, He is the light of the world. It's His words alone that teach us how you and I can get to heaven. You see, Jesus Christ, although He was born in Israel, in Bethlehem, He's not just the light to the Jews, but He is the light to the whole world. And He alone and His words are only the only words that can teach us how we can get to heaven. So when we think of the holly wreath, it reminds us of our sin. And the candle in the middle reminds us of Jesus Christ, the one who teaches us the way. But there's something else on the holly wreath. It's the red berries. And the red berries were there to remind the people of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is not only the one that teaches us the way, and He's not only the one that shows us the way through the Word, but Jesus Christ, He is the way. And if you and I are ever to get to heaven, we must trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells me that it's Jesus' blood that cleanses us, that washes away all our sin. So boys and girls and mums and dads, it's clear from the Bible that there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Coming to church does not make you a Christian. Even reading your Bible does not make you a Christian. Learning your Sunday school lessons does not make you a Christian. The only way that you can become a Christian is by trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ, by believing that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, died for your sin. That's the only way. There is no other way apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. So the holly wreath, it reminds us of our sin with its thorns. It reminds us Christ is the light of the world, and His words are the only words that can teach us the way to God. The red berries remind us of the blood of Jesus Christ, which washes away all our sin. But there's something else about the traditional holly wreath. Now, I know you see them in shops today, and sometimes they're sprayed silver, or they're sprayed gold and bronze, and they look very nice. But traditionally, the holly wreath was made out of evergreen leaves. It was green. You see, the evergreen leaves, they come from trees that don't lose their leaves at winter time. And when you see a green tree, and you see green grass, and a green plant, it reminds you that that plant is alive. That it's got life. And boys and girls and mums and dads, Jesus Christ came to give us life. Now the Bible tells me that if you're a sinner, you're dead. You're dead. You might think, well, I'm not dead. I'm living. I'm breathing. I can speak. I can move. Yeah, but the Bible tells me that there's a life that you don't have. Everlasting life. Eternal life. Abundant life. You know, to be a Christian is the most wonderful, joyful thing in this world. And there's people, and yes, they might have physical life, but they're miserable. Oh, they're so miserable. You look at them walking down the street, and they're grumpy. And they're sad. And they have so many troubles and trials, and oh, I haven't got enough money. Oh, and I feel a wee bit sore. Oh, and I need to pay off my car. I need to pay off the house. Oh, my family's giving me trouble. And they're miserable. Miserable. But Jesus Christ said that He has come that we might have life. that we would have joy and peace and happiness, and we might have it more abundantly. So the holly wreath reminds us of our sin with the thorns, reminds us that Christ is the light of the world with the candle, reminds us with its berries of the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash away our sin, and the green leaves remind us of life. But there's one last thing about the holly wreath. It's always what shape? What shape is always the holly wreath? Let's see. Does everyone know? Anyone know what shape is always the... A circle, that's right. It's always a circle. And there's a children's meeting chorus, and it goes like this. God's love is like a circle. It is so big and round, and when I see a circle, no ending can be found. That's like the love of Jesus. It goes on for eternity, and when I see a circle, I know that He loves me. You boys and girls, mums and dads, God's love is everlasting. It has no beginning and it has no end. You know what that tells me? It tells me that the day you get saved, God, He always loves you. He'll never fall out of love with you. He'll never cast you off and away into hell. Once you're saved, you're always saved. The Bible says you can never perish. The love of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Tells me in 2 Corinthians 9, and 15, that Jesus Christ, He is the unspeakable gift. And God gave His Son for sinners. Now, I'm sure if you have a Christmas tree at home that you've got some of these under your Christmas tree, a gift. And you're maybe already poking around and thinking, what's in that? What's it? Maybe your mom and dad or granny says, don't be opening that. There's a special day, and it's only that day that you are to open your presents. That's Christmas Day, isn't that right? You see, the Bible tells me that salvation is a gift. Is a gift. You know, boys and girls, mums and dads, there's a special day to receive that gift. The Bible tells me that now is the day. And now is the accepted time. And you do not need to wait to open or to receive the gift of salvation. Now, there's maybe grannies, granddads, parents, and you're still waiting. Still waiting to receive God's unspeakable gift. You imagine. Imagine this Christmas I went out and I bought a really lovely gift for someone. And I knew it was exactly what they needed. And I came to their house and went, I've got a gift for you. It's for you and I know you'll need this and I know you'll love it. And that person looked at it and went, no. Take that with you. I don't want that. I don't need that. You take that on with you. Just take that away from me. Wouldn't that person be very cheeky? They would have bad manners. And I would be offended. Will you think about this? If you're unsaved, God gave His precious Son. And He wants sinners to receive His Son today. But maybe someone will walk out of this meeting this morning, and you know what they'll say to God? No. Not for me. Don't need your Son. Don't want your Son. Not for me. How offended would God not be? How angry would God not be? And maybe many times you've already said that to God. But I'm glad the Bible tells me that God is long-suffering. He's patient, and this morning He's given you another opportunity to receive Jesus Christ by faith. I wonder, will you do that? Will you do it today? Because God's patience may run out, and you'll never have another opportunity to receive God's gift of salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And let's have a word of prayer before we sing our closing hymn. And your attention has been brilliant, but I trust that there'll be an individual, a boy or girl, a mum or dad or granny, and they'll receive everlasting life through Jesus Christ, that they'll accept Christ and call upon Him as their own and personal Savior. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the unspeakable gift of God. We thank Thee, and this was manifested, the love of God towards us, in that God gave His only begotten Son that we might live through Him. We thank Thee for abundant life. We thank Thee for what the children have been singing. There's a peace, there's a joy, there's a love deep down in our soul. And I pray for those that are outside of Christ that this Christmas they will receive the Savior by repenting of sin and calling upon Christ in faith. Bless us as we sing this closing hymn. We ask this in Jesus' name and for our Savior's glory. Amen.